This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In his Easter message titled, Hope Changes Everything, Pastor Scott reminds us that our hope in Jesus Christ can sustain us through anything. This message was recorded on Easter Sunday, April 4th, 2015. Here now is Pastor Scott.
God is so amazingly faithful. And, you know, every year as we celebrate Easter, you know, we think, what else can you say that hasn't been said about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And as I was getting ready and I was praying and, you know, I heard the Lord say, you know, talk about hope. Because if it wasn't for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we'd be meeting for nothing, honestly. Hope is an optimistic attitude of our mind based on an expectation of positive outcomes related to events, circumstances in life. You know, and Paul said it great in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. You know, when they were taking this gospel message to the Corinthians, you know, they had believed the basic fact of the resurrection. And it is a central fact that this is what our faith is based on. And Paul argued that if there is no resurrection of the dead, and Jesus is still in the grave, then we'd be just like any other religion who worships somebody who was here and died and stayed dead. So if Jesus was still in the grave, then the apostle, then Paul's preaching was useless. Because they preach a risen Savior. And if Christ has not been raised, then our faith is useless. Why believe in a dead Savior? If Jesus is still dead, then his sacrifice did not appease God for our sins. And we have no advocate with the Father. We have no hope of eternal life. If not, you know, if not even our Savior gained eternal life, then all of us, it would be here for nothing. It would be just a bunch of people gathering, you know. And because this is not true, because he was raised, because we now worship a living God. Amen. So everyone here, take a deep breath. I never say exhale. Just kidding. Now, as long as you can breathe, which I assume all of you can, because I can see you guys all breathing and you guys are alive, because as long as you can still breathe, there is hope. Amen? Okay, so you may be in a mess financially. Your relationships may be a wreck or headed in that direction. Your life, your job may seem to be at a dead end. And in any of these situations, maybe you're in there and you say, like, man, I cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. Well, if you are in any of those situations or something that resembles that, I got to tell you, you came to the right place. And God brought you here for a reason. And that reason is to receive hope. You know, sometimes people give up. They can't seem to find hope. Sometimes they take their lives because they cannot find the answers to what seems like an absolutely hopeless situation. And it is so tragic when that happens, and it happens far too often. And I wish that they had someone positive in their life that they could speak to, that someone that could give them hope for a better future. And I have done funerals for people who have taken their lives. And it is so difficult to realize that this person, who we don't know what they were going through, was at the end of their rope. They saw no hope. And the best thing that I can do is share hope with the family. You know, I've talked to some of our friends here who were in jail. And, you know, they say there's life after prison. You know, I see people who get divorced and they think this end is at their it's over. But they find God through their divorce. And later on, they find a person that they can relate to. And then 5 years down the road, life is just so different. And they're happy. They're joyful. I mean, years ago, when I first moved here, my hope was in alcohol and tobacco and drugs. That was my hope. And I didn't realize what my life could be like, and I just lived in this revolving circle of sin, you know, repeating circle. You know, just like how the Israelites, you read in the Old Testament, they just kept falling into sin, and I keep telling you, and I read that, I think, well, you knuckleheads. You know, every time you guys fall into sin, you guys get lickings, and you guys repent, only to come back again. And I'm thinking, like, man, that's my life. That's how my life was. I was a knucklehead. Really. And, you know, from then to now, it's probably like, 15, 20 years. And it's like, life has changed. You know, back then, everything was for the moment, for the day, and that's all I lived for. And I didn't see anything beyond that. But now I look at life, it's like, wow. In those years, things have changed so much. And life is so much better on this side after I received Jesus Christ. You know, some people, they just give up on life. And for us, we get to go out there and show them that there is much more to life than the everyday thing, living in sin. There is that relationship that we have. There is so much a great thing. You know, you work with people who struggle with relationships. You work with people who they don't like the boss. You work with people who financially they struggle and they think that there is no hope. But all of you here have that key, the key to that hope. And you get to share it with them. Amen? Here's the thing. You know, if you're in a situation that seems to be hopeless, or you may be thinking, man, my finances are not that good, and if I keep up, you know, I'm headed for a train wreck. Or you may be in a relationship, or maybe you have a relationship that's broken that needs to be repaired, and it may seem hopeless. You may have health issues that you know, you see no light at the end of the tunnel. If you have health issues and you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and maybe you know you're going to die soon, and there is great hope in that, you know. And sometimes I share with people who are dying, who know Jesus Christ, and I say, worst case scenario, you die. How great is that? Where do you think you're going to be? Then they think, heaven? Is that so bad? Then they think, no. And so, you know, there is so much hope. Amen? You know, here's the thing. Number one, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. I know it's hard. Life is tough, and I don't know what you're going through, but I do know there's hope. So many times we feel like giving up. I felt like giving up many times, but I chose not to. Listen to this. Jesus prayed for you. Imagine Jesus, the one who died on the cross. Before he died, he said a prayer for you. In John 17, 20 and 21, I said, I do not ask on behalf of these alone. He's talking about the disciples. But for those also who believe in me through the word of the disciples, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are one in me and I in you. That they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. You know, after Jesus prayed for his disciples, Jesus prayed for all who would ever believe in him because of the testimony. In a sense, everyone who has come to become a Christian has done so through the apostles' message. When we read the New Testament, when we read the Gospels, because they wrote it. They were the founders of the Christian church. So Jesus was praying for all the believers who would ever exist, you and I. He was praying for you and for others, you know. He was praying for those he would want us to reach. And knowing that Jesus took the time and prayed for us should give us confidence and hope that as we work to expand his kingdom, he is with us. Amen. So number two, here's it. Number two, don't ever lose hope. I mean, so many times in the middle of a storm, it is so hard to lose focus. When you're in the middle of a fight for your life and you're getting punched, slapped, whipped, and you're probably looking at the person delivering the punches and the blows instead of looking at our Lord and Savior. And when we focus on the problem, that's when we lose hope. But if we focus on the Savior, not so much. We would not lose hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no home. You know, Paul was telling teaching the people about the future and salvation carried a promise of eternal life. And he told his audience here that the same Jesus who died and rose and ascended would one day return. And Paul wanted the Thessalonians to understand that, you know, death is not the end. You know, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you die, it's not the end. It's more like the beginning of your journey. If you accepted him, then you don't have to, if you have somebody who died who accepted Jesus Christ, you don't have to be full of sorrow. Like people who grieve, who have no hope. And Paul recognized that the death of a loved one naturally resulted in grieving. But when Christians grieve for another Christian who died, there is a huge difference. See, when we do that, our grief is not hopeless or in vain. While the pain is real, the fact that these loved ones will be seen again. You know, we have brothers and sisters who left us, who are no longer physically here with us. And last year was the most that we ever lost in this church. We lost several members last year. But did we grieve for them like there is no home? No, we didn't. It was like a celebration for them. Because a lot of them were ailing. Now they have new bodies. Now they're in heaven. And when we go, we will see them. So when we grieve, we grieve with hope. Amen? Because we all have that hope. Matthew 28, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. You know, when they went to the tomb, for I know you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He said, he is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he was lying. go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Man, what great news. You know, they went to the tomb. Imagine you went to the grave to visit one of your relatives and they wasn't there. And somebody told you, "Oh, they're at home. Go visit them." How exciting would that? You know, Jesus did not stay dead like some of the other religions who worship people who dead and they died and they stayed dead. Jesus is not that. He has risen. Amen? So, you know, you cannot lose hope. You know, and sometimes it's easy to give up. I mean, it's easier to give up and then to fight through problems. But we need to endure. We need to persevere. We need to keep pushing forward. And I think for us, one of the biggest reasons that we cannot receive the hope is because of pride. Pride gets in the way of us receiving this kind of hope. You know, sometimes we have, because we have to be able to admit that the way that we did life didn't work. You know, the way that I did life for so many years was frustrating, produced no fruit, and always ended up with me being frustrated, hurt, broke, hangover, and smashed cars, all those things. And I had to come to a point and realize, this is a humbling moment, okay? I had to come to a point to realize that the way that I was doing life was wrong. And I had to admit to my wife that the way she was doing life was right. Oh, how humbling is that? "Honey, I gotta come to church with you today because the way I was doing was all wrong." And, you know, I had to realize that the reason why I couldn't pay my bills is because I was holding back my tithes from God. And when I would persecute my wife, telling her, "We can't pay our bills because I seen the checks that you were writing to the church. That's why we can't pay our bills." I had to come to terms with myself saying, "Wow, she was right." How many of you husbands have to tell that? Your wife was right. I was wrong. Yeah, it's a, you know what, the guys, we have pride, right? We have pride. It's something like, "Oh, you know what, I go to church just to make you happy." Deep inside, we know we need it more than them. But sometimes that's the whole thing, our pride. Men, sometimes, maybe some women, they just don't want to ask for help. And when we don't want to ask for help, we get stuck, we get in trouble, we give up, we lose hope. And it's all about admitting to God that, how many of you know that God has a better plan for your life than you do? Yeah, you know what? He does. And until you come to terms that his plan is better, and until you're willing to accept his plans and do his plans, then you're going to be struggling. See, the thing is, God's plan for our lives is so much better, so much greater than our plans. Better, greater. I did not say easier. Amen? Because those of you who know that, you know that God's plan for your life is great, but it's not easy. So here's the thing. This is how you can not give up and not lose hope. Put your faith in Jesus. Okay? Not in Pastor Scott. You guys got to get that right. Okay? You got to put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in me. When I stumble and fall, then we will all fall. And every week, we try to preach the message of Jesus so that you can have your relationship with Jesus. So that, because Jesus will never stumble. Amen? If you Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. That verse right there really describes Easter. You know, that Jesus rose from the dead. And if you believe that, to confess means to give a verbal affirmation. In this case, acknowledge with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and he was raised from the dead for you. We confess that Jesus is Lord. We acknowledge his rank or his supreme place, his sovereignty. We are pledging our obedience and worship. We are placing our life under his protection, his safekeeping. We are pledging ourselves and our resources for his control and direction and service. Can anyone say they believe something? You know, anyone can say that. But God knows each person's heart. And in this confession, it is not enough to merely utter the words, but must be declared, professed, proclaimed from the heart, expressing full conviction. The gospel message, in a nutshell, is confess, believe, and you will be saved. There is no reference to works or rituals. You must first believe in your heart. That makes you right with God. God declares you not guilty of your sins. By prayer to God, you confess with your mouth. You believe in God and what he has done for you. As Romans says, belief and confession lead to salvation. To believe and to confess involves the whole person commitment. You know, there are two parts to that single step. You know, just as you lift up your feet and take a step, you know, those two movements resulting in moving forward. So after you put your faith in Jesus Christ, because you got to remember this, you got to stay connected to God and stay connected to people. And John put it best when he wrote Jesus' word, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. See, without God, without Christ in your life, you know, it's hopeless. Without me, which means that without him, meaning that separation from God, you cannot do nothing. If a branch is separated from the tree, will that branch bear fruit or will it just wither and die? Beautiful flowers cut off from the plant, they will die. No matter how much water you put in them, they will die because they are not connected. So after you put your faith, you confess at your mouth, you put your faith in Jesus, you gotta stay connected to God. Hebrews 10:25 puts it best, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. See, people, you come across them a lot. They say, I don't need to go to church. I can have church in my home. Man, it's so sad because they're cut off from the fellowship. Who do you think the enemy is going to attack and take down first? Those who are here together with us or those who are alone by themselves? Yeah, we gotta encourage one another. We got to stay connected to one another. We got to keep each other accountable to remain connected to Jesus. Amen? You got to remember this. Because of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can live life with such confidence and hope. You have to remember this. Hope changes everything. Everything in the world. Because of what Jesus done for us, in your darkest time, in your worst trial, on your deathbed, hope changes everything. It really does. Because if you were on your deathbed knowing that you were going to heaven and you wouldn't have to pay taxes anymore, you wouldn't have to sit in traffic anymore, you wouldn't have to step on the scale and see that you gained 5 pounds just looking at the ice cream. You would be like, I'm dying, yes! I am going to see my Maker. Hope changes our whole outlook on life. You know, when I was telling you about the story several months ago about when my neighbor was building his house, and these big, big guys, they were like big like the house. They were collecting rocks in his yard. I mean, they were humongous. I mean, their leg was bigger than me. And then I called my neighbor, hey, get some guys taking rocks. They have permission. He said, no. Well, you want me to go ask them? And he said, yeah. And I was like, okay. Shoots. Why did I have to even try and ask? But I said, hey, you know what? If they get the rock and throw it to me, then I'd be stoned. No. Then I die, then I go to heaven, right? So, and the Bible tells me that he did not give me the spirit of fear. And I wanted to be a good neighbor, a good witness. So I went to those big guys and I confronted them. Because I knew if they killed me, then hope changes everything. If I knew I wasn't going to heaven, no way I would have gone there, because I know if I died, I died and that would be it. But hope, man, you can't live without it. It's just like Jesus. You can't live without him. But hope in him changes our whole outlook on life. Amen? And I pray that you would put your hope in Jesus. And having hope in Jesus changes every outlook in life and gives you peace. Peace in your heart. Amen? Purpose for your life. Where would you end up when you leave this world? Man, hope is so great. Jesus is so great. Would you put away your notes, bow your heads, close your eyes and pray with me? For those of you who really need hope because you're at the end, I'm going to offer you the hope of salvation, of eternal life. If you would, like the Bible says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And then I'm going to pray this prayer, and I'd ask that you would repeat it after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner. I am sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I need your forgiveness. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross and died for my sins. I am willing to turn from my sins. You said in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? God bless you too back there. God bless you back there. Anybody else back there? You may put your hands down. Thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved us from our sins. Thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to a license, but rather it leads to repentance. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you would transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you and not to myself. Thank you for dying and giving me eternal life. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope Christian Fellowship East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keauʻu, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.